The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to My Brother, and Me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis McElroy.
And I'm the sweet baby brother and 30 under 30 media luminary, Griffin McElroy.
Red, red wine.
Excuse me?
It's just, it's in my heart right now.
Really?
Just feel great. Yeah, just so happy to be here recording the show with you, my brothers. And that song, UB40's cover of Red, Red Wine, is what is in my heart.
Do you want to know what's in my mind?
Stay close to me.
Here's what's in mine. Inexplicably, now that you're gone, I just want to be with you. Enrique Iglesias. No idea why. Woke up this morning, there
Griffin,
it was.
Griffin, don't overthink it, Griffin. Open up your heart and let a song out.
Probably U2's Vertigo, the introduction to it. Where he's like, oh, deux, trois, 14. That one gets me psyched out of my fucking mind. And I don't get me wrong, I hate the rest of the song and the rest of the band's music.
How great would it be if that intro was 8 minutes long and him just like, Ichi.
Yeah.
Seven. Green.
Yeah, here's some more of my favorite words. Bono, that's my name.
His name's The Edge. Over there, that's Larry.
I'd like to introduce you to my band. You know us.
We're the Beatles.
And
we're
of course, Beatles. The final member, you two.
You are a fan. A special thanks to you, too. We couldn't have done it without you. That's why the band's called that.
So, we're nearing.
Do you think Larry did have a moment where he's like, know what you go and call yourself? Okay. Bono. Ooh. And you are The Edge. Ooh. Okay. And I'm going to be Lightning Man. Well, actually.
No, you can't be the Lightning Man.
You're actually going to be Larry. It's actually, and you are Adam. You're Larry and Adam.
The thing, Justin, is actually Larry's legal Christian name is Inferno Lightning. And he goes by Larry.
So he had to change it.
Inferno, Blaze, Lightning. But he's like, the
he's
Edge
like,
was
just
like,
call me Larry.
Travis,
if Adam and Larry ever broke off into their own band, Adam and Larry,
us
they
two.
Would sound like a,
it would be
us
called
two.
Us two, please.
They would call themselves Adam and Larry, and it would sound like two Christian comedians that go church to church doing wholesome routines.
I mean, that's basically what U2's oeuvre is. It sounded like Travis had a good intro. I'm excited to hear what
I have.
It was.
We're nearing
episode 400, and so I wanted to inject a new segment to kind of bring new life. And I was thinking about this last night as I was trying to fall asleep. I was really worried about daylight savings time. You know, it's keeping me up.
For the farmers to come and take away the hour they gave us back in fall.
So I've titled this segment, "What do you think you would do if?" Come up with some hypothetical scenarios. I got four here that I want to pitch you guys.
So this is like an audio sort of theater of the mind, John Quinones experiment.
Sort of like that. So Justin Griffin, what do you think you would do if you saw a bear?
Yeah.
And then the bear kind of like patted the seat next to him and he just kind of like stared up at the stars.
Is it sexual?
The padding? No, it's more just kind of, well, it's an open-ended invitation. I don't want to limit where the scenario will go because that's kind of up to you, but it's just an invitation.
I mean, I can't. I'm in a place in my life right now where I can't just go around kissing bears in the forest, weird, strange bears in the forest. I'm married, you know, I got a kid, I got responsibilities, I got fidelities.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm worried about what this sort of atmosphere would create, the bear's breath hot on my face, rich with honey. So I would say, but boy, I do love stargazing. Mm-hmm. I think I would have to create a sort of platonic atmosphere with the bear in a way that doesn't make the bear feel threatened, like it needs to attack me.
Excellent. Justin?
I want my own.
Okay.
Griffin already did that.
So, Justin, what would you do? What do you think you would do if Burt Reynolds came to you and said that he needed your help because he had loaned a friend his DVD copy of Meet the Parents, and then the friend said that he didn't have it, but Burt Reynolds had seen it on his friend's entertainment center?
Did you
the
say
week
Burnt? Did you say Burnt Reynolds, which is my favorite crayon color?
Yes.
Okay,
Burt Reynolds' full name is Burnt Reynolds, and he shortened it.
The N is silent. So Travis, you didn't finish your anecdote. So Burnt Reynolds,
Burt Reynolds, Burt Reynolds' his friend, his DVD copy of Meet the Parents. Now he does also have a Blu-ray copy, so it's not pressing. But he loaned his DVD copy of Meet the Parents to his friend, and then when he asked for it back, friend said he didn't have it, but Burt Reynolds had seen it. Damn on it. His friend's entertainment center the week before.
The DVD's got better special features too. Yeah, it's a gag reel Easter egg.
So is the person who he loaned the DVD to, is he part of the Hollywood Glitterati? Do I know the friend?
No, it's just his friend Doug.
Ugh. Doug Reynolds? No.
No.
That wouldn't make any sense. There would be no reason for what I said.
No.
It's actually Dung Reynolds.
Dung the N is silent.
Bert asked me to get, do I have any sort of relationship with Dung?
Let's say you maybe live on the same block, but you haven't like spent a lot of time together, but you've seen each other at the local swap meets.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what I would do is this friendship with, I'm not the sort of person who, when they make a celebrity friend, sort of milks it for all it's worth. So I am really going to try to foster a better friendship between me and Burnt. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to buy him a new copy of Meet the Parents on DVD. And I'm going to give it to him. And wait, there's right answers?
Well, don't worry about that. Hold on. Don't worry.
No, hold on. I need to know if there's right answers for this segment, because then I might do my bear one again.
No, you're both right so far. You're nailing it 100%.
Okay. So it was sexual. We can all agree this bear is trying to put the moves on me.
Okay, so I would get him a new DVD, and I would say, like, here, I don't want you to have to worry about this anymore. You're in your twilight years. You just did that direct to direct TV. That is a thing, actually. It is direct TV. Burt Reynolds movie. I want him to keep acting. I want him to focus his energies on that. And I don't necessarily want him worrying about this DVD anymore. So I'm going to drive a wedge between him and Dung by buying him a copy of the DVD. And he'll say, thank goodness I don't have to worry about that anymore. Thank you, Justin.
Give me a second to finish writing that down. Thank you, Justin.
Wait, why are you writing? Why do you
don't,
need to write
don't
it down?
Don't worry about it. Okay, so Griffin, here's your second one. What do you think you would do if you were a turtle and you had really good credit, but you're not sure if you're ready to settle down with your long-term girlfriend, Sheila?
Why does my credit have anything?
It's really good.
This is just sort of character development about turtle being.
So what do you think you would do?
I mean, here's the thing. Turtles live for fucking 2,000 years. We all got the same turtles from back in Christ time, basically. And so if you settle down as a turtle, that really means something, because that's you're talking about thousands of years, but potentially. Then it's all about spawning and the eggs. There's like a billion of them, and that's a big responsibility too. I kind of get it, but at the same time, it's pretty lonely. I don't have a good answer for this one, Travis. You've given me literally nothing.
That is correct. Justin, here's the final one. What do you think you would do if...
Oh, wow.
You saw fire, and at first you panicked a little bit, but then you realized it was just like a campfire, and all of your closest friends were sitting around it, and they were all really silent, and at first you're like, what's going on? But then you realize they're all just being kind of contemplative and kind of thinking about life, and then the fire starts to die down. You go through all the proper steps to put the fire out and, pour sand on it and stuff and make sure it's out. And then you go and you lay down in your tent and you start to feel a little hungry and you remember you have a Clif Bar in your jacket, but then you think, oh no, I left my jacket out by the fire. But then you realize that, no, you brought it in, it's in the tent with you. And you go into the pocket and you get the Clif Bar out and you had thought it was chocolate chip, but it's actually oatmeal chocolate chip. Then you eat it and you don't feel hungry anymore and then you go to sleep.
Kind of feels like Travis only had two.
Yeah, I don't think that one, that it requires much action.
So what do you think you would do if?
What I would probably do is continue to sleep.
Uh-huh.
Have a restless night's sleep because laying on the earth and ground is always difficult.
And you ate so late, and you know that always gives you weird dreams.
Yeah, and I would have a weird dream.
Uh-huh.
And I would wake up the next day and build a new fire and start the cycle again.
Excellent. You are correct. You are trapped. You are trapped in a time cycle. You nailed that one.
Waiting for Doctor Who to come. Uh-huh. That is his name. Doctor Who to come rescue me, or her name. Excuse me. Waiting for her to come rescue me from the cycle. All right, excellent. Now, Travis, it's your turn.
Okay.
What do you think you would do?
Justin, you have to really squawk it. Really.
What do you think you would do if you were friends with Barack Obama?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Hussein. A lot of people forget the Hussein.
Friends to acquaintances. You don't know each other great, but whatever. Uh-huh. And
so, like, I might invite him to hang out in a big group hang, but it would be weird if, like, he and I went on a road trip.
Yes, thank
you. You're borrowing this dude's DVDs nonstop.
And you had some live shows coming up, and you needed a poster design, and you asked Barack to make one for you. Even if it's not good, it's still the poster that Barack made, and people are going to be wild for it. He gives you a link to share, a shareable link for some of his rough sketches, sort of what he's thinking about for the shows. When you click through the link, the posters are there. They're terrible. I mean, they are wretched. But you also see a directory in the Dropbox that says pirate.
Okay.
And when you go into it, you find off-screen filmed copies of The Post. Of Thor Ragnarok, of Lady Bird, and then some, like, Broadway stuff.
Oh, jeez.
Like, Legally Blonde. He filmed a preview of Legally Blonde and torrented it.
Oh, man.
He didn't film it. He torrented it. So, what do you think you would do?
So, if I found out that our former president, Barack Hussein Obama, had pirated not only film, but also Broadway, which is probably, even I would say, even more upsetting than pirating film.
And the Olympics and some football games. And you're not supposed to do that. Yeah, it's some of his favorite football games.
What would I do? You know what? I'd turn him in.
Wow.
I mean, listen, I'm not proud, but I'm lawful good. You know what I mean? If there's one thing people know about me.
Would you really fucking turn him in?
No. No, of course I would.
Why don't you quit being full of shit for a fucking minute?
Answer my fucking query.
Because I panicked. Do you want to know the truth, Justin?
That's a hard game.
In this administration, you want to hand former President Barack Hussein Obama over to this current administration as a federal criminal. You want to do that. That's your fucking choice.
I think here's what I would do, Justin. Here's what I would do. Here, do you want to know what I would fucking do?
Yeah, I wouldn't have asked it if I didn't want to know.
Here's what I
would
fucking
do,
Justin. I would maybe set up some sort of elaborate prank, but not like a funny prank, but like kind of a scared straight kind of prank where I was like, and if that had been real, you'd be in prison right now, Barry. You know, I'm worried about you.
Hey, you show up at his door.
Dressed up as a movie cop. My name is Ace Shooter, Hollywood cop, and I
probably don't want to show up at former President Barack Obama's house and say your name is Ace Shooter.
It's my fucking name. What do you want me to do?
Have it changed. You go to the Imagitorium and get a new name for Ace Shooter.
Fine. My name is Ace
Cool Flicks.
Ace Cool Flicks. And my name is Ace Netflix, and I'm here. Would you steal a car, former President Barack Hussein Obama? I do not think so. So why have you stolen the Lady Bird? You're going to jail for a very long time. Just kidding. It's me, Griffin. But you learned something.
I feel like he didn't give him time to get scared. I feel like he didn't.
Did you try again?
He's
try
still
again.
Confused.
Yeah. He's try again.
Like, he knew it was you. You're close
yeah.
friends.
Let me try
you're
again.
You're closer to. He's closer to Griffin than he is to Travis.
Oh, so I got a big beard.
Yeah.
I don't, hey, what's up? My name's Damien Blockbuster, Hollywood Police. And I'm here to talk to you about the ladybirds you stole.
No, wait. Did you use this to get past the Secret Service? Because I think that they would probably answer the door and not let you get close unless
No, Justin, it's a jurisdiction thing because at that point, the Hollywood police trumps the Secret Service.
Yeah. I brought a pie and I'm like, this is Barack Obama, president. And then, you know, I lay it on him. I'm going to put you in the slammer now, the Hollywood slammer. And wait for it. Just kidding. It's me, Griffin. I tear off the beard. There is no Damien Blockbuster.
I mean, maybe somewhere.
This is a good segment, Trev.
Hey, thank you.
Should we talk about, speaking of the live shows that we got former President Barack Hussein Obama to make posters for us, should we talk about the live shows we do actually have coming up?
Yeah, let's blaze through them. Folks, we're hitting the road this year. We're getting back out there.
It's too much road. No, I'm looking there's a lot list of road and I'm like already exhausted.
There's a lot of roads. I'm not going to bog you down with a bunch of dates because you can find those at McElroyShows.com/tours. Trevor, can you go ahead and put those on there even if we don't have the links yet?
Yeah, by the time this goes live, they'll be up there.
They'll be up there. Okay. McElroyShows.com/tours. We are coming to My Brother and Me is coming to Dallas, Houston, St. Louis, Detroit, Columbus, San Francisco, Phoenix, Orlando, and Atlanta.
Now some of those two are also Adventure Zone show. Adventure Zone's gonna be in.
I was gonna do them separately.
Oh.
The Adventure Zone is coming to Dallas, San Francisco, and Atlanta.
Yes. And those are over like the next 6 months.
Yeah, from April to September in there. There's a lot of shows going up, folks.
It's gonna be a lot of fun, and we're very much looking forward to it. I know I said that I wasn't because of how exhausted I was, but it's gonna be a hoot. We know some of these cities never been to: Columbus, Detroit, St. Louis. What's up, St. Louis? Gonna get up in that big scary arch.
Phoenix
yeah. has its own arch. A lot of people talk about it.
I have been to Columbus many times. That's where Cosi is. Nice try.
But we haven't done our shows there. Anyway, all the links and stuff are at McElroyShows.com/tours. Now, tickets are going to go on sale this week. So look lively. Somebody with the email open can probably tell you exactly when that's going to be.
Yeah, so tickets are going to go on sale Friday, the 16th at 10 a.m. local time. Now, just
local to where the shows are, not just where you live.
Correct. Now, the thing to keep in mind, just as a word of warning, because it's happened before, it's always possible that they go on sale a little bit early. So maybe don't jump on right at like 10 a.m. Maybe start checking a few minutes before, just to something to keep in mind.
Now, we are going to be doing a pre-sale also.
Correct. So
yes, that's going to be Wednesday, March 14th at 10 a.m. local to Thursday, March 15th at 10 p.m. local, there's going to be a pre-sale going. And all you need to do to access that pre-sale is use the password My Brother. And that's the same for Taz and Mabim Bam shows. It's My Brother. And you can use that pre-sale to get into to buy the tickets early. If you want to go to the shows, do that. Do the pre-sale because if you wait for the other one, it might be tough. If you have problems accessing the site, if the site goes down, which it tends to, keep trying. Don't like get out of queue or whatever. And if you're gonna tweet at somebody, tweet at the venue or whatever if you're having issues, because we are not gonna be able to do anything about it.
We're going aggro crag with this fucking schedule, so we are not gonna be able to like add more shows and stuff like we usually do. So look lively. May the odds be ever in your favor. Please don't tweet at us. We have no idea how this fucking process works.
And just, you know, we also are going to, you know, that's only up till the beginning of September. We're looking at some other things. Nothing guaranteed, but we're going to try to keep doing them throughout the year, too. But this is the only thing that's confirmed and guaranteed right now.
All right.
So look lively.
Justin, read this question.
Here we go with the show. I like watching nature shows at night before bed to relax. My cat has begun doing this cute thing where he sits at the foot of the bed and inadvertently watches the TV with me.
Or intently, not
intently.
You really added a lot of letters.
Whoa, I added a lot of there. Okay. Intently watches the TV with me. His favorite shows feature birds or four-legged critters, like David Attenborough shows, of course. I mean, can we just...
Like David Attenborough, a centaur.
One night, I was watching some trashy TV when my cat hopped up on the bed and began watching. Immediately, I changed from my trashy TV show to a nature show I knew he would like so that he would stay. And then I realized I just tailored my TV time to my cat's preferences. Brothers, what's the protocol for sharing TV time with a cat? How can I expand my cat's interest beyond just critter shows? And that's from Not That Crazy Cat Lady in Tennessee.
Maybe your cat just wants you to learn something about alligators instead of just watching some garbo TV. Maybe your cat wants to enrich your mind with David Attenborough's lessons. And people are always talking about this dude, and I still just have no idea who it is. But I assume he gets up there and he's like, alligators. Is he British? Alligators. Yeah. The snakes with legs. And you learn about them instead of, you know, seeing a bunch of people hit each other in the street while drunk. I don't know. I feel like that's a good thing.
How far does this go, though? If you start indulging your cat this way, and then you turn on the new Brian Eno record, and your cat comes over and he swats your face, he say, "I want Skinner. Put on Skinner.
Put on some Skinner now. I learned to talk. Also, get the wet food. I know it's a pain in the ass, but I want the wet stuff. You got to open one can at a time.
I like them commercials with the dog in the china dish. I like that.
I'm tired. I'm tired of that dry stuff that's supposed to make my shit smell good. It's never going to happen. Give me the can.
Give me better shit, sand, Debbie.
I've been thinking about it. I think I want to eat a begging strip. Fuck you. Fuck
your
sister.
Send me to school.
I want to go to school.
Stop keeping me from school. I want to learn.
I want to be like you. Give me man's red fire.
I'm going to go to technical college and learn how to maintain servers. I want to
ever since
living.
They closed down the plant, I've been stagnating.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I just
want a future.
I can't access my email anymore. Is there any way you can?
Yeah, I can fix it. Let me just plug. Oh, you didn't have it plugged into the damn Wi-Fi. Hold on. All right, I did it. I'm gonna knock your mouse off your desk now. Skinner, fuck you.
Don't you want to use? Wouldn't that be easier if you used the mouse?
No, I don't. I don't enjoy using the. It's my predilections. I don't like using mice.
And it's also better sensitivity with the trackpad. Really?
Yeah. Look at these pads. Look at them.
All right.
Hey, you got any milk?
So we just did a fun cat character rather than just sort of addressing the issue.
Help. I think that helped, though.
I mean, it doesn't. I mean, your cat, if your cat can like nature shows, then your cat can learn to like My 600-Pound Life. So you just got to help, like, you meet your cat halfway, watch a little something they like, and then watch a little something you like and see if, like, sometimes you can get them on board with the storylines of something, you know, especially those, like, episodic trashy reality TV shows. Maybe try to adjust your cat's taste so they like the stuff you like.
Do you know cats? Like, that ain't gonna happen. My cat is just, I can't get this little guy to do anything.
Maybe get your cat a smaller TV that you just play nature shows on so you can watch what you want.
Well, but that's gonna end up with you watching a small TV and him watching a big TV.
Oh. Yep.
My cat runs my life, you know? I'm just operating on his schedule at this point, you know what I mean? Like,
if they were to make a sitcom about me and my cat, you know, it'd be called Who's the Boss? Except maybe they stylize it as Who's the Paws? Who's the Paws?
Maybe Muse the Boss?
So, Griffin, you got a Yahoo?
I do. Here's one that was Sent in by Merritt Palmer. Thank you, Merritt. It's Yahoo Answers user Bolstad Norge asks, if a word in the dictionary were misspelled, how would we know?
Oh, shit.
Whoa.
Fuck. No additional details listed or required. It's, how would we know? Like, a real toughie, like archipelago. And you're like, did I do this right? Let's check with the dictionary. And the dictionary's like, here's how we think it is. But how did they figure that out? And words that you can't really figure out, like, what the right way is, like color or color, like, whatever they list is just how it goes. But did they go to the, you know, where did they find the ancient stone tablet that was just like, nah, here's how you spell archipelago?
Okay. Words do change their spelling over time, right? So if you look at like early old English, you're going to see a lot of wild vowels and what have you in there, right?
Yeah, and like what's up used to be what's up, and then all the great commercials came out, and now the dictionary says it's was up.
Yeah, so exactly. That language changes. I think if the dictionary changes the spelling on something, that's the spelling.
Yeah.
I think that there are also quantum words, like restaurant, for example. I think if you look at it, it changes between being R-E-S-T-A-U-R-A-N-T or A-R-A-U-N-T, depending on when you're looking at it and who's looking at it, because I don't believe that there is actually a right way to spell restaurant, and I'll always get it wrong forever and ever and ever.
You know, the ones that always get me is convenience.
Oh, yeah.
A resuscitation. Like anything with like the double S's in there somewhere.
How often are you putting
somewhere?
That down?
What?
How often are you doing resuscitation?
Yeah, how often do you have to say resuscitation? I can't even say the fucking thing.
Can't even say it.
Are you using resuscitation a lot?
Oh, you know the other one? Occasionally.
Oh, yeah.
Which ones are doubles?
Balloon.
Balloon gets you?
Balloon is tough. Is it a double L? I don't know. I don't remember.
Oh, shit.
Or a single O? This is my ballon. But that's what I'm saying. They could just change it. And they're always adding stuff. They're very hip and very woke, and they're always adding stuff to the you know, the word Bible. And if just kind of who's making these calls? It's just like now balloon is 1L, 1O. It's ballon. And now that's how it is. And if every other, and even when they do that, every book ever written before that is just full of typos.
Yeah, it's just wrong.
How come there's not a fucking competing dictionary?
Yes.
There's only the one dictionary just company that's out there, and they're the only ones deciding. And I think it's time for us to maybe do a dictionary. And it can probably just not be all the words. I don't think we're going to be competing with them on scale, but like some of this stuff, there's just like the word
the hard words.
Like conscience. It's just like, I would just list that one and I would just be like, conscience. The thing inside you tells you whether it's good or not, how it's spelled. Just
whatever.
Just go for it.
That's the thing is we're fine listing multiple definitions for words, but not multiple spellings. Come on, grow up.
Grow the fuck up, Miriam.
It's 2018. Things are spelled however. I've got too much on my plate to worry about where the U goes in restaurant.
And with the McElroy's super good dictionary, spelling bees would become way more fun. Because then it'd be like, if they get up there and spell, like, they'd be like, spell archipelago. And they'd be like, A-R-K-A-P-E-L-I-G-O. And they'd be like, psh, I guess.
That tracks.
Fine. It was so fun.
And then they would go do a physical challenge. Yes. Spelling bees would be awesome.
Oh, yes. Arm wrestle now. You too.
For the spelling of the word.
Yeah.
It was so fun pretending there's only one dictionary, but I'm going to stop pretending it for this next thing I'm going to say.
Okay.
You know how there's like different dictionary companies?
What? No, there's only one as a standard. No,
we're not pretending that anymore.
Oh, okay.
So there's Webster's and Oxford. Wouldn't it be funny if Webster decided to change the definition of Oxford in its dictionary? It's like, oh, an Oxford, that's a dookie stain you get on your drawers. Got them.
Burn.
Got them. Oh, you got an Oxford on there. Gross.
Here's what's crazy. Why is there different dictionaries? Because the words are the same and the definitions are the same. Is it just you copy and paste the other folks' shit and just put it right in your book? And it's like, You stole it. What are you talking about? I can't steal what Apple
it's
means.
So they can, it's so they can have an arms race for putting busted new words in to try to have some, like, notoriety or, like, some reason that the media will talk about. I'm like, did you hear staycations in there now? Like, yeah, fine.
It's so quick. It's yeet, go, yeet goes viral. And Miriam's like, we got yeet.
That's us. Look at there. Burn the old ones.
Burn the old ones. All your old books are bullshit. Go buy a new one. It's got yeet. It's the Merriam-Webster 2018 yeet edition.
Also, we took YOLO out. Nobody's fucking saying YOLO.
Nobody's saying YOLO out. What are those? Is done.
Welcome to the Merriam-Webster What's Hot, What's Not edition. I would like to make a new, better version.
Segment. Oh, okay.
A new version of the dictionary that just has a different alphabetical order. Because alphabetical order is just completely arbitrary as it is.
Mm.
And I would like to put all the vowels together.
Oh, that's good.
And then, but the whole alphabet starts with T, so that I'll always be first in line for stuff.
That's cool. And then maybe instead of a song that we teach our children, you just say the alphabet like it's one big word.
I like that.
So it's like
the beginning.
And then all the vowels. So it's like
all the vowels.
Like that, and then kids say it, and it helps like, them learn.
Like a Missy Elliott song.
Yeah, well, you know that not all her songs are like that.
What?
Once, yeah, not all of her songs feature her sort of saying things backwards. You know that, right?
It's not a gimmick. It's just
it's not
thing.
A gimmick. She's not the backwards song singer. She just really has the one where that's sort of the focus.
Okay, well, sure. If you want to just step on my joke.
Joke's kind of a strong word. Let's take a break now and head on over to the Money Zone.
Already, huh? Wow, that What Would You Do segment sure took a while, huh?
It was What Do You Think You Would Do? There's no copyright infringement here.
Folks, I want to take a moment to ask if you are hiring, because times are tight over here. And I could use a gig. Posting your position to job sites, that's what you do normally. And then what do? You wait. You wait for the right people to see it. Well, no more waiting, because ZipRecruiter has revolutionized hiring. Their technology finds great candidates for you. It kicks open their door, grabs them by the scruff of their neck, it drags them into your desk, it tapes them there with duct tape, and it makes answer your questions.
Yikes!
It learns what you're looking for and identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply.
What kind of experience do you think you look for people to write a dictionary for you? Like, if you were hiring dictionary writers, that's such a specialized skill set.
Yeah, what's the deal with that?
Do you think that there are dictionaries that also include some sort of narrative?
We did dictionaries already, Travis. We're in the body of the advertisement now.
But now I'm thinking about if we wrote a dictionary, but there was a story that unfolded as you read the dictionary.
That could be fun.
Okay.
Hey, Peepum's Nasty. Peepum's, as long as we're doing old bits, Peepum's Nasty Gun. Let's check in on that one.
Our listeners can try for free at ZipRecruiter.com/mybrother. That's ZipRecruiter.com/mybrother. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Hey, Pamela, how's our new spot on my Bim Bam? Well, it's long. it's not really about us for much of it, but it is a long spot.
I want to tell you about Squarespace.
From those boys.
Now, I want to tell you about Squarespace.
And also probably Glass Sharks at some point.
Glass Sharks will work its way in there. Well, I am going to reference something I referenced earlier in the podcast, and that is we were talking about the tours, and we said macroyshows.com/tours, and I said, yeah, I can put that up there. That'll be up by the time. That's because we use Squarespace, and Squarespace is so intuitive and easy to use that I can make changes wherever I need to. Update stuff rapidly and on my own schedule without having to wait for some huge, I don't know, website producing machine to make the website for me. I can do it. And if you have a cool idea or something you want to, you know, create a web presence for, make a new website on Squarespace. It's super easy. They have beautiful templates created by world-class designers. They also have e-commerce functionality. So if you want to sell things, you can do that. And it's optimized for mobile right out of the box. You don't even have to do anything so people can use it on their smartphones.
Travis mentioned that quick iteration. It really is awesome. Like, hypothetically, you could put on, like, a contact page on like, a personal website where people could email you. And then when, like, 200 people send you emails about Bananavore, you can just delete that instantly. Yeah. And, like, it's not even a big deal and nobody even notices.
And they help you buy domains, and they have a ton of extensions to use, and there's nothing to patch or upgrade ever. So go check out squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use the offer code MYBROTHER to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com, and enter the code MYBROTHER, all one word.
I want to tell you all about an exciting new podcast that is called Talk from Superheroes. It is a new podcast. It's hosted by Andrew and Diana, the creators of Texts from Superheroes, that hilarious webcomic you've seen where superheroes text each other. Every week on Talk from Superheroes, they break down the hilarious things you've never noticed in superhero movies and TV shows, like how Green Goblin's glider definitely cut off his junk in 2002 Spider-Man. What? Man of Steel is about to get is about how to insert a space USB, and how Tony Stark recruited a child soldier in Civil War.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I think all that probably does track. A lot of just sort of probably, I bet, like, snafus, continuity errors, a lot of, outtakes, a lot of, probably some plot holes, gang. And so gird yourself for that. But it's all on talkfromsuperheroes.com. Or you can also just search for Talk From Superheroes on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. That, I think that means, like, whatever application you use to download the podcast, and not, like, a nice tree you like to sit under or over and in a hot air balloon and enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is from Anna Heavens, and it's for Smooch Island. Hey, Smoochers, what a year it's been. Thank you for being part of a community where it's normal to build internet friendships, do some flirts, get some selfie validation, and maybe even experience some island magic. To Jack, Alme, Jenny, Mo, and John, you are the best mods and people I know. Thank you for everything. I love y'all. Keep smooching.
What is Smooch Island?
I don't know, but I'm so excited.
That
so
it's here.
So excited to get to say it and just be there.
You can't be there. It's Smooch, like, Lost. Island. Can't, it's always moving. There's a scary polar bear and... there's a big cloud that comes around and kills people. But aside from that, it's great. Everybody's smooching all the time.
Now, why didn't you go with Fantasy Island, Griffin? Because it seems more like Fantasy Island.
Nope, it's the Lost Island. Bears and everything. No. Sawyer's there. Sawyer's there, but he's kissing.
Mm. He's kissed. Oh, so you can smooch Sawyer. That helps.
Hell
that
yeah.
That really takes the edge off the smoke monster.
I'll say this. Smooching Sawyer doesn't hurt.
Well, it might. He's got a lot of stubble. You might get some.
Oh, burn. It would. You gonna read this next one, Trav?
Sure. This is from Wes Davies, and it's for Robin Phelan. Dear Robin Phelan, fantastic DM and even more fantastic friend, Reese and Wes, Inya and Francie, Sin and Amy, Rizza and Luca, Kuviri and Juniper, Way and Iris. Why is it written like this?
This is the
Wes?
Biggest D&D group fucking ever.
Maybe that's probably the player. Wait. Is that the
it's
player?
Player and the I don't know.
Character and the player? I don't know. They all send you our love, and thank you for the zags, the gays, and for all the kindness you put into the stories you give to us. May they continue to heal us and you every month. You are so loved. And that message is set to air whenever.
I like it. I like it. There's never a bad time to thank your DM for their hard work.
I agree, Griffin.
Thank you, Travis.
Hi, I'm Allie Gertz.
And I'm Julia Prescott, and we're the hosts of Everything's Coming Up, Simpsons. We are a Simpsons podcast brand new to the Maximum Fun Network, and every episode we cover a different episode of The Simpsons that is a favorite of our special guests.
We've had guests that are showrunners and writers and voice actors like Nancy Cartwright, all people that have worked on The Simpsons, and we've also had guests like Weird Al and people that are on the Max Fun Network already, and each week we will talk to a very cool guest about their favorite episode, and it is so much fun. So if you like The Simpsons, come listen to Everything's Coming Up, Simpsons.
All right. Smell you later.
My friend won't let up about the existence of airline hitchhikers, people that stow away in the baggage place of an airplane and look through the paying passenger's things during the flight. According to her, they sneak on while the terminal loads in the baggage, nobody the wiser. This only came up when I asked why she was putting those miniature key locks on every single zipper of her checked bag, as I thought she was more hesitant about them opening during flight instead of hitchhikers digging through her socks or something. How can I convince her that these airplane stowaways don't exist and are not looking through luggage, and she doesn't need a dozen locks on her suitcase? And that's from Surprised in Sarasota.
Of course, yes. This is obviously ridiculous because people sneak on the plane inside the luggage, not while it's being loaded. Don't be ridiculous.
And then they get, then when they put the luggage through the X-ray and they get stopped, like, hey, we saw some weird shit. And you can be like, no, no, no. It's just a skeleton.
Yep.
I'm fine if there's airplane hitchhikers. If that's the point that are like, that we're at, that's fine. Can I please leave my shoes on then? Like, if y'all are going to let people climb on and dig through people's bags with their sticky fingers, can I please just leave the shoes on, maybe? Would that be okay?
They're prescription shoes, TSA.
Justin, you used the word, like, let in there, and, like, it did occur to me that if this was truly a problem, and there were airline hitchhikers, and so airlines were just like, what are you going to do? Listen, we can't stop it. Every day, we open the doors. Oh, dang it. Oh, everybody's clothes are everywhere. They got us again. The airline hitchhiker. And they've just accepted that it's an inevitability. You can't stop these sky pirates. You know what I mean? It happens.
That is what I am implying, yes. I don't think that it would continue to be. They don't let me on wearing my shoes.
You know that once you go through security, you can't put the shoes back on, and you don't.
What?
Wait a minute.
Wait, I thought you left them off till you got. I thought you left them off till you got home.
Are you the stink feet man I've been reading about? I've been seeing articles pop up on Time, the Wall Street Journal, all the big blogs. About the stink feet man who goes on the plane and doesn't wear the shoes and then just sort of makes the plane his space with the smell.
What the worst thing I think about the having to take your shoes off at the airport, and it's a huge inconvenience, obviously, but if you think about it, if you're a sane human being, you go to get on the airplane in, sir, your kickoff buddies, your buddies that you can just...
Yeah.
Slip right off. And then what happens? Well, the terrible side effect is you've now loaded up an airplane with people that are wearing the shoes that are most easily kicked off. Like, most easy, just like kick off and relax. Your kickoff buddies, and you're wearing them. It's a whole plane. We have, like, normalized taking your shoes off in an airplane because everybody's wearing the shoes that are so easy to slip on and off.
They should make you wear your most difficult. Everybody should have to wear their steampunk boots that lace up to the knee.
Yes.
That require two friends to help you get on and off.
Your dom boots.
Yeah. I am actually sitting here right now looking at my steampunk boots, and that is where that reference came from.
Yeah. The only hero are my brother. That's probably not true. This is a podcast. There's probably a lot of podcasters who own steampunk boots. If only there was a word for people who hide in the secret spaces of modes of transit, because airline hitchhikers is kind of a mouthful.
It made me picture someone on a cloud, like
someone like on a hot air balloon with their thumb out, and they're like, "I gotta get to Phoenix, but I don't have a whole lot of money." Okay, here it comes. Oh shit! Oh shit! Oh shit! Oh shit!
That's kind of what the little prince did. You know, the comments weren't into and that. Also comments weren't asked.
The gremlin on with the Shatner episode of Twilight Zone.
Thank you, Travis.
Mm-hmm. How about a Yahoo?
Can I just mention one other thing? Okay. The lid of my coffee mug stinks. I wash it every day, and it's just the top of the lid of it stinks.
Wait, stinks like plastic? Because that's the thing I don't care for in the tumblers.
It's a travel tumbler. Yeah. That's the only thing I use to travel. Here's a fun fact about me. I don't leave the house as a rule, Don't pour my coffee in anything but travel mugs, because if you're using a regular mug to drink your coffee, it is cold instantly. When I dump it into the Contigo auto seal, though, it's going to stay warm for longer. So I always do that, except the lid of this Contigo auto seal smells so bad. It auto sealed the stink in, and I'm going to throw it away.
What kind of stink, Justin? Let's get in there.
Blackball. Don't want to hear about Justin's mouth stink. No way. It is no way
this is from me. This is not my brand.
Is it just the material of the lid you don't care for?
It's like it's a porous material that has absorbed stink at some point during the dishwashing process.
Yes, but what kind of stink, Justin?
I mean, it's an earthy, mellow stink. It's just like an old laundry stink. Mm-hmm. Kind of a musty old laundry stink on my Contigo auto seal. There's no sensory input in terms of tactile or taste. It is purely an olfactory issue. But with every drink, I'm like rubbing my nose in the stink while I'm trying to drink my coffee.
Have you thought about just boiling the lid?
Ugh! I just took another drink.
Well, now why are you taking drinks of it, Justin?
I need it to do the comedy.
How about this,
Yahoo? What do you think you would do
if you needed
coffee to do your comedy?
Here's a Yahoo that was sent in. Thank you, Adrian Cowles, for sending this sentence. Yahoo Answers user Jason, who asks, what's your power meal? Update. I have 2. 15 bean soup and vegan chili.
15 beans? That's 15 different kinds of beans, right? Not just like 15 beans.
I think it's 15 beans because it's all that your village had, and you put it in there with the water, and then everybody kind of makes up an imagination thing they put in there, and then at the end you eat it, and you're like,
where'd the beans go?
My favorite soup, but then you're like, we all know that this tastes like shit, right? Jeremy put a fucking rock in here and said it was like a magic rock that tasted good, but we can all agree that this is fucking gross, right? Okay. What's your power meal, though? What do you eat? I thought about this because I've reached a point now where there's very little food that makes me not want to either, one, go to sleep, or two, go to sleep on a toilet. And I don't know that food makes me feel powerful anymore as much as it makes me feel sad.
This isn't like your favorite happy comfort meal, right? Because for me, that's far too much fried chicken and cheesecake. That does not make me feel powerful.
No, not powerful. I'm about to go fucking play paintball, and I need to load up, and I'm gonna get out there and play paintball, and I need to load up. And so, like, what's the meal I eat before then, so I can feel powerful, so I can do all my cool like knee slide John Woo shit. And I'm saying I don't know, because there's literally nothing.
I mean, if you get me here's what it is for me. Salad, but like staked out, like tons of steak. And if you put a bunch of steak on a salad
you've been watching for weeks.
No, to make sure nobody is tampered with it and make sure it's not falsifying documents. A steak salad, because it's like it blasts you with veggies and you love that raw energy. But then right behind it, it's got the protein there to kind of scoop you up.
To make you go crazy. Yeah, that's
to make you go crazy.
Give you the body fuel.
The other thing that I definitely would include in there is hot sauce. Like, if you
the power's gone, Justin.
That's all I use. I don't use salad dressing. I use hot sauce on my salads.
And then it turns you into a sports car.
It turns you into a sports car
so you can go fast. And so there's our legally mandated
every 100 episodes
Turbo Teen reference.
Travis, if you think we reference Turbo Teen every 100 episodes, you are out of your fucking mind.
Fair enough. Justin, mine is similar, but mine is more contextual salad, where it has to be like surprise good decision salad.
Okay, yes.
You know, where it's like, I'm feeling a little sluggish, right? I can't plan on having the salad, but I have to, in the moment, we're like, you know what? I mean, I have a salad. Yes. And that is like, it sneaks up on me and we go on an adventure together where I feel like I've made a good choice.
That happens to me on tour sometimes. Yes. On tour, sometimes like around the last show, Paul will be like, let's get that dinner order in. I'm like, you know what I'm going to go with? And he like turns to me really slowly. He's like, Justin, you don't mean a... And I'm like, yeah, Paul, I do. a salad. And then everybody on the crew like rushes into the green room, which is against our rider. And everybody in the crew rushes in the green room and they just start applauding and screaming, like flinging things everywhere.
That is a thing that happens, all three of us. It'll be like, if it's as if someone just suggested like a dessert, where I'm like, ooh, a salad. Actually, yeah, change mine to salad too.
I can't even, salad's not even great for me anymore because it shows up in my tummy and like my tummy workers, like Bill is like, Susan, I don't even know what to do with this stuff. And Susan's like, yeah, I don't know either. Let's just get it out of here as fast as we possibly can.
Griffin, I feel like science needs to develop for you some kind of like gray liquid that gives you all the sustenance that you need and the energy you need, but maybe you don't even notice you're eating it at the time. That might be the only thing your stomach is able to process now, my worry.
Might be good, because right now my plan is like, I see a healthy salad and I see some mozzarella sticks and I'm like, both of these are going to make me feel bad. I may as well have a good time in the mouth.
Have you tried Soylent?
They named their company after the thing where they killed people to turn them into food.
Spoilers!
It's just wild to me. It's like if Pepperidge Farms changed their name to Silence of the Lambs. You can't just... Gang?
Every one of our delicious boxes comes with our hickory smoked fingers.
Wait. Hickory smoked dude? It's the wildest like tech bro shit ever to me, where it's just like, yeah, we named it after, is it people or not? We'll never tell. We're very successful for reasons beyond Griffin's comprehension.
Could you actually tell real quick? Because like, I don't know if you've seen out there, but a company that called itself after the food drink, the made of people, and then they did do it on the like rankings of the past few years, I would be like, a 7, maybe. Yeah. a 7, maybe. Yeah. You might trend for like an hour.
It's an hour. And everyone's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I get it.
All right. And it's still, I can just drink it and I'm good for like the next 4 or 5 hours and I don't.
Yeah, but it's but it's people.
Yeah, but it gives me whatever I
need. But it gives me energy to code.
Yeah, dude. Go for it.
It's people.
Yeah. What isn't these days, am I right?
Lots of things. Other thing.
A banana, an orange.
Who has the time?
The peeling? Yuck. I can't peel. I got a code.
Ugh.
How about another question, or do you want to Yahoo another one?
We've only done two questions. Let's crank one more out here. I'm a delivery driver for a business in California that sends marijuana and other THC products to people's front door, just like pizza. It's legal here, and I absolutely love my job. Well, yeah, it's a good gig. Every customer I've ever had has been polite and happy to see me. The problem is that sometimes they're too happy to see me, and or they still have the stigma that our arrangement is something shady instead of a licensed business, and they ask me to come inside, which feels unsafe for me personally.
Yep.
And unprofessional for a business as legitimate as ours. How can I let my slightly too friendly customers down gently so I don't harsh their buzz? And that's from Weed Man Steve in Sacramento. Well, Steve, I should clarify, what you're doing is still a federal crime. So let's not get too uppity. It's still a federal crime.
Like pirating movies.
Like pirating movies. Films, Barack.
What if somebody asked you to come inside, you said, oh, that's actually illegal?
What you're doing is this is not going to be a problem in 20 years. This is a symptom of,
but that doesn't help Steve now.
No. I'm just saying that this is a very unique issue that you are having to solve. I am saying that there's very little precedent for this, because it is a problem that has only popped up in the last few years or so. Where back in the day, you'd call up Todd. Todd would come over, slide you some sweet greeny nugs, and then you'd be expected to play GoldenEye with Todd for the next 3 hours as he enjoys the thing you just paid for, also kind of.
Do you think when they started pizza delivery, the recipient was like, are you gonna come in and slice it up for me?
Do you want to eat some?
Do you want to eat some of it?
Did you bring any
hungry from walking over here?
Did you bring any arcade games for me to enjoy? Because usually that's how it works. I bet they did. I bet early in the day they were like, listen, we got a whole pizza here. You should come on in and have
some.
Come
on in. I got some new cassettes that we can jam out to and enjoy my pizza. Hey, you're not a cop, are you? This blends so many things for me of like my extreme social anxiety and just sort of general anxiety about like, I guess doing drugs with strangers is probably a good one to have. Mm-hmm.
It sounds solid.
What can we do? What can they do?
It makes me wonder if this person was like, okay, get in here, and you said like, no, thank you.
No, thanks.
And they were like, then let me get this transaction done as quickly as possible then, I guess.
I can't say I wouldn't be that person, though, because my gratitude would be enormous. I'm extremely thankful when the pizza delivery person shows up and gives me the pizza. And I imagine that if the weed delivery person had showed up before the pizza delivery person, I would be exponentially more grateful towards the pizza one. I think I would also probably invite them in and give them some sort of like, I don't know, dowry. You've done a great service for me.
Experiencing this from a different direction. I've been using DoorDash, and DoorDash is like, how lazy are you? Because basically you're calling in like a pickup order, but then you're having someone else that you do not know pick it up for you for money.
Yeah.
So it's like delivery, but you have added the step of like saying, but I'm not going to go get it. So
well, it's not delivery. It's DiGiorno, which is the name of your driver. My name is Todd DiGiorno,
When Todd DiGiorno brings it to me, my posture and attitude and tone of voice can only be described as deeply apologetic.
Yeah, I fucked up. I should have done this instead of you, Tom.
I know. I know this is where we're at, and I get that.
We literally have said nothing helpful about what this person can do. I think you could just say like, sorry, I got a lot of other stops. And then if you could spread some angel wings and just fly away, and you've left your Mitsubishi Eclipse behind, but you'll come back and get it later. But I think it's something that just says like, you can't, do you want to come in? You can't hog me, bud. I got lots of other miracles to perform tonight.
What if when they said, do you want to come in? You said, oh, I'm wearing a wire.
Why?
Well, because then they wouldn't want you to come in.
Oh, so you're assuming they're already kind of high. So you could say, like, I can't. I heard some cops. And then you just can leave.
I can't go in. That's I'm great. A cop.
Yeah, as long as you're playing into those stereotypes, you could just reach into your pocket and take out a fistful of combos that you kind of throw behind them. And then you can run away as they fiendishly chomp down on these floor combos. These weed rats. These druggy wastoids.
I think that's helpful.
Yeah, that probably helps. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We got a couple other things to talk to you about. First one is our new merch store. If you're listening to this on Monday, it could be launching today, maybe tomorrow, definitely this week. It'll be at McElroyMerch.com when it is live and working. We'll tweet about it and Facebook about it and all that other good stuff. There's going to be a ton of new fun items on there, a lot to discover and explore.
There's a ton of new items on there as well as items we have offered before. And so I'm super excited for everybody to see these. There's some really cool stuff on here.
We're actually partnering on this with DFTBA. Don't forget to be awesome. This is John Hank Green's business interest. They've got a lot of other great creators on there like Hannah Hart and Extra Credit. And Extra Credits, excuse me. And
The sequel to Extra Credit.
And so we're very excited about that. And it's McElroyMerch.com. When it goes live, we will tell you, I promise.
I want to remind everybody, we got a bunch of live shows. Tickets are going on sale. Just real quick, Dallas, Houston, St. Louis, Detroit, Columbus, San Francisco, Phoenix, Orlando, Atlanta. doing my bim bam, doing a few adventure zones in there. You can find out all of the details at mcroyshows.com/tours. Going on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. local time, local to where the shows are. But tickets are going to go on pre-sale, and that's going to be on Wednesday at 10 a.m. local time. And like, we can't stress this enough, and we have to warn you here in the episode, because we have to give everybody a fair shot. They usually sell out pretty quickly. That's not us being dicks. It's us trying to help y'all come see the show if you want to come see it. So mcelroyshows.com/tours this Wednesday, 10 a.m. local time. You got to use the code MYBROTHER if you want the... All one word if you want the early ticket sales. And then whatever is left will be on sale Friday at 10 a.m. local time.
We are engaging in a special project this week that we can't give too many details on, but we need questions.
It's the weirdest thing we've ever done.
Yes. Hands down. So we need from you questions, topics directly relating to like vacation, getting away, relaxing on a beach,
boat drinks, kind of thing.
Sailing.
And you may think you know what it is from this. Trust me, you don't.
It's weird.
It's weird. But you, and the good news is you're not gonna have to wait too long to listen to it. So, if all goes according to plan, so, just send those questions, put in the subject line, it's about vacations. So we know we can find it.
Schmanners is going to be, Schmanners is the etiquette show I do with my wife, Teresa. We're going to be at Moon Tower Comedy Festival on
My wife,
April 18th in Austin, Texas. You can find out about tickets at bit.ly/moontowerschmanners, S-H-M-A-N-N-E-R-S. Also, just because we haven't mentioned it in a while, we're doing a graphic novel of the first arc of the Adventure Zone Balance. You can find out about that at theadventurezonecomic.com.
Let's wrap it up. Thanks to John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song. It's a departure off the album Putting the Days to Bed. It's a very good album. Thank you to Max Fun for having us on the network. You can go to MaximumFun.org and check out a bunch of great shows there. Shows like Beef and Dairy Network and Tights and Fights and One Bad Mother and a whole bunch of others, all at MaximumFun.org. Or you can see other stuff that we do, including video stuff at McElroyShows.com. While you're there, look at our live show slate and come see us. How about a final? Yahoo?
Yes.
So I'm sent by Merritt Palmer. Thank you, Merritt. Great submissions this week. It's by Yahoo Answers user Anonymous. I'm going to call him Horatio. Asks, can you get two drinks at once at Red Lobster?
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother, me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Hey, my name's Jonah Ray. You might have seen me on the latest season of Mystery Science Theater 3000 or heard me on the Nerdist podcast. Well, I got a new podcast that's about 5 years old, but we're moving it over to Max Fun, along with my friend Cash Hartzell.
Hey, everybody.
And my other friend, Neil.
Hi.
Nailed it!
So, it's a music podcast where a lot of people just kind of hang out and talk about music, but so much more. We also take submissions, and so you could hear your band or our music.
or both.
Or both of it.
You could listen to your band play your music.
Yeah. So, tune in, why don't you? You could find out about some new bands and maybe just hear us embarrass ourselves as we drink too much.
Not too much.
Well, it's all perspective, isn't it?
Sure is.